Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing.
Does Robocop have wet dreams?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I'm your host, Sam, and finally, after years and years and years of talking about this movie, we're talking about doing this movie, I should say. We're finally doing it, Kahu.
Drum roll, please. Yes. To the point where I just assumed we had already done it.
Right? How many times have you watched this movie in preparation for the podcast?
Yeah. I think, maybe three.
I've done at least four. I know of four times I've watched this over the last two and a half, 3 years or something.
So more times than I had previously seen it.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We are doing the 2014 reboot of Robocop, starring...
starring a bunch of people.
Michael Keaton and Samuel L. Jackson and... and Cash Grab, I mean Robocop. No, we are doing the original from 1987. It has a score of 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb and a whopping 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Whoever's seen it the most recently has to give a plot. Was it 4 weeks ago that we've been trying to legitimately, this is the week, bro. This is the week. No, this is the week, bro. I think you've got to do it, Kahu. I think you've got to tell us what the plot of Robocop is.
Isn't it funny when you've seen a movie quite a few times, but you still can't tell anybody what the plot is? What's the city called? Is it Chicago?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Yeah. So the story follows a cop called Murphy, turns up at a new precinct in Detroit, unfortunately gets a bit shot up when he's out in the field.
A bit?
just a little, a bit brutally. And he becomes the subject of a new type of cop, RoboCop.
It's basically Robo-Jesus, right? He's resurrected and comes back to save everyone.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's... yeah, there's like a kind of an organized crime kind of intrigue to it.
The Romans, yep.
And whether Murphy is still human or is he not. But to be honest, those two plot points are kind of secondary to just the badass RoboCop action.
100%. So if you haven't heard this podcast before, welcome to our podcast. What we do, as mentioned, is review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. Since there's two of us, we are going to start with 13 that can be applied to any film before we move through three personal questions each before finishing on a Patreon question. Why don't we start with compliment sandwich? If we enjoyed it, one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good. Or if we loved it, we give one thing good, one thing great, and one thing good. Or if we hated it, we give a shit sandwich, which is one thing bad, one thing good, and one thing bad. Kahu, lead us off, because I'm so curious.
I'll start with a good thing. I just like the standard Paul Verhoeven themes that run through this film. I don't know if it's peak Paul Verhoeven, but it's right up there. I'm a big fan of Starship Troopers, and I do like Total Recall in particular, but yeah, there's just something about this one, speaks to that urban dystopia and corporate overlords and media control, all of that kind of stuff. Those themes are as strong in this film as any of his other films, so I really enjoyed that.
It's kind of funny because we've done so many of his movies on this podcast. Like, me and you did Starship Troopers very early on. I've done Total Recall with the Countdown Boys. I've done Showgirls with Mitch and Dory. I've done Showgirls, man, I wish. I've done Basic Instinct with Countdown Boys as well. I've done so many of his films. He's not someone that I'd immediately say is one of my favourite directors of all time. But, man, does he have some films I love.
Yeah.
Weird dichotomy, right?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of know what you're going to get with his films.
Showgirls, you don't really know what you're going to get.
I mean, they're a bit subversive, but to the point where they don't take themselves too seriously. I think Starship Troopers is probably the apex of that.
Yeah, very satirical as well, though.
Yeah. And kind of foreshadowing his thoughts of where society is going as well.
I like how he sums up American excess while not even being an American. It's almost like this is the lens of a non-American coming to America and be like, this is what you guys are fucking like. This is you guys.
Yeah.
You know, highly sexualized basic instinct or showgirls, you know, like highly fucking militaristic, like, you know, Starship Troopers in this movie. It's like these real views that he takes of America that are so applicable. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Second good thing for me. This film, probably more than most movies, I think, just screams 1980s. from the clunky robot animation to the throwaway takes on sex and violence and
bitches leave.
Yeah. Objectification of woman, all of that. Although in saying that, what's his cop's name? Oh, the Nancy Allen character, she's quite good.
Yeah.
Annie,
yeah.
Yeah, Annie. Don't
see the movie four times, can't remember the character.
Yeah. not sure if that was kind of typical of the time or not, I'm not sure, but yeah, just, yeah, 80s all over it, down to the wanton use of cocaine, just great. Really nails the time period while being a movie about a future time period. That doesn't really make sense, but I'll go with it. I really want to give this film a hyperbole sandwich because I really do enjoy it, but I just don't think I can because the plot is just so, like, it's so basic.
What are you
on
about? The plot's amazing. Robo Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. He's a RoboCop. How fucking cool is that? You've got the 80s cop movies combined with futuristic Terminator. He's the fucking bomb.
Yeah. I mean, there are some good, I guess, like, plot points around working through RoboCop's logic, how he can't shoot Dick because he's an employee of, what's the company called?
Shit.
The whatever the company's called.
OCD or something?
OCD.
Yeah. Oscorp? Oh, no, wait, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah. And then when the old man says that Dick's fired, then he's like, thank you, or whatever he says. And
thank you for your service.
Kind of the big ending. So that was cool, but yeah. It's, I mean,
Omni Consumer Products, OCP. I was close.
Yeah. So, OCD. I mean, it's kind of typical of an 80s action movie where there's the plot isn't the main attraction to the film.
So, is the score out of 10,000 pistols?
10,000 pistols.
10,000 shots to the dick.
10,000 shots to the dick. That's a lot of shots to the dick. Yeah. I don't think you'd survive that.
Bring it on. I'm game.
All of the genitals. I'm going to round this
I've
out.
Got three.
At a solid 8,000 shots to the dick. I enjoy this film, but it doesn't have those bits that stick with you quite as much as, say, a Terminator 2, which we're all in agreement is a hyperbole sandwich.
100%.
But still highly enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay, moves me over to me. I mean, first thing, it's so ridiculously over the top. That's my first good thing. You know, some people might argue it's a bad thing. For me, it's a good thing. It's so ridiculously over the top that, like, you chuck it on and it's so stupid that even Stacey, who hates these types of movies, will watch it and be like, wow, this is fucking amazing. Mm. Which is saying something. My second good thing, it's so ridiculously over the top. Like, it is so fucking ridiculous. It's so much excess. You're right.
A bit like
so,
your answers.
Yeah, exactly. And then my final great thing, it's so ridiculously over the top. Hyperbole sandwich, fuck are you on about? This movie fucking fucks, bro. This movie is awesome.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Your move, creep.
It is definitely awesome. That's actually... Yeah, plenty of strong one-liners in this film too.
Plenty of strong one-liners. And what Verhoeven does as well is, like, just random shit just chucked in there. You know, like in Starship Troopers, it's like, I'm doing my part. You know, like these ads and shit like that. You're like, this conveys it, you know, and like this, he's got ads, I'd buy that for a dollar, and it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is fucking mental. Yeah. You know, there's this store owner gets fucking held up at gunpoint. He just comes in and fucks shit up, does more damage to a store than the guy I was going to rob. And he's like, you know, goodbye. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. You
know, these guys are standing in the street shooting guns that explode buildings into a million fucking pieces. Yeah. What the fuck? This movie is mental.
Yeah, for a film where not a lot of attention's given to the plot, like there's a lot of small details that are really well considered.
Exactly. How do you not give this a high quality sandwich?
It's almost as if the director's gone, I have all of these great ideas and some of them don't really fit the plot, but I'm just going to shoehorn them in wherever I can.
I do believe that's the Paul Verhoeven way. Yeah. It's just to chuck as much shit up on the screen and be like, yeah, that was fucking cool. And it's admittedly, it's probably the same that the Fast and Furious people do. You know what I mean? Like, and like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Same with Paul Verhoeven. Sometimes it really works. This is one that really fucking works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Fuck it. I'm going hyperbole. I don't give a shit. I'm probably more like about 8,000. Just a fucking... One of us has to be a hyperbole. Anywho, question number two. What is it, Kahu? Oh, by the way, question number two comes courtesy of ChatGPT.
Oh, well, that is very interesting given my answer, but I'll ask the question and you answer first.
Great.
So, if you could add one bizarre and unrelated scene to this movie, what would it be and how would it leave the audience scratching their heads?
I've added this because I know that you're going to know what I'm talking about, and some people at home might not know what I'm talking about, but I'll explain soon. I would love it if we get one random shot of how his wife and his kid have moved on, right? They've left the city, they've gone somewhere else. We cut to a shot of them in an apartment and they're both wearing tuxedos and they go outside and start throwing a football around. A la The Room, which is full of random fucking scenes that make no sense. I want to take one of my favorite scenes out of The Room, two people playing tuxedo football. That's what I want, you know. Admittedly, The Room has a couple of people playing tuxedo.
Is Robocop in a tuxedo?
Ah, yeah, fuck it, why not?
He'd probably kill his kid because he'd throw it like 200 miles an hour.
Just spirals one through his eye socket. Your move, son.
I mean they could have had the meeting with the ex family in here somewhere. Mine was that Robocop and the ED-209 have a dance-off to test AI learning capability.
It's amazing that I love your sort of, some would say, innocent outlook. Like, Machu would be like, oh, bro, those two just start fucking, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
He would.
But yeah, dance-off, yeah.
Dance-off, like in the lab where they're, you know, they're testing them out and, yeah, they could go all Zoolander on it.
They could. Although the other one would be fucked if they go all Joker and start dancing on some stairs in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a robot's greatest weakness is stairs.
Yeah. Yeah, my money's on Robocop to pull those undies out of the fire.
Yeah, 100%. Question number three, what movie would you pair with this as a double feature? This comes courtesy of our amazing friend Emily Higgins of Saceless Podcast. Tessa's podcast is awesome. Go check them out. You know Emily. She's been on here more times than Kahu, probably.
Yeah, probably. Thanks, Emily. You're a champ. I think the easy answer is Starship Troopers, but I'm not going to go
right,
there.
Yep.
So just to like, for a real contrast, I'm going with Blade Runner.
Yeah, okay. So I'm there with you because I was like, well, I want a futuristic movie that's set in that was made in the 80s. I went with Escape from New York because fucking love Escape from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done an episode on that with Paul from the Countdown Podcast. He's been on this probably more times than you have, Kahu.
Yeah, yeah.
But Escape from New York is awesome. Blade Runner is fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Escape from New York. It's a good pick.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Cool. Number four.
Okay. What's something you notice that you don't think other people immediately noticed?
Okay, so in this movie, we are set in Detroit, and Clarence, played by Red Foreman out of That 70s Show, is, like, he's the bad guy, right? And I don't think I've ever heard of, like, a less scarier bad guy's name than Clarence.
Yeah.
You're like, Clarence!
Clarence Buttigieg.
Clarence. It's, like, it's so far down the rung in terms of, like, being intimidating. At the same time, fucking intimidating in this movie.
Yeah.
but still, it's Clarence. And what made me laugh is in 8 Mile, which is also set in Detroit, at one point when Eminem is rapping against Anthony Mackie, he says, this guy's real name is Clarence. And Clarence has really stable parents or something like that. And I was like, no shit. There's 2 movies set in Detroit where they mock the guy and is like, you know, his name's Clarence. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed.
Yeah. Something about a scary bald man.
I do love a scary bald man.
I agree. He's quite a good antagonist for this film. Yeah. There's just something more scary and foreboding about a baddie that's not kind of physically imposing.
Yes. Yeah.
Like he's got a couple of hoodlums on his team that are far more physically imposing than him, but
like Alan Rickman in Die Hard a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
No one looks at Alan Rickman and goes, oh, that guy could fuck me up.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, he's got that chaotic energy that makes you go, oh, I do not want to fuck with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of sinister feeling that you don't know what they're going to do next. Yeah. So in this film, and again, good foreshadowing of this movie, shows that the police are kind of a bit downtrodden, have too much to do, aren't really kind of well rewarded for the jobs that they do.
Are you trying to say that's exactly like real life? I think everyone noticed that, bro.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And so on that, I just noticed how Murphy's old house was pretty sweet for a cop's salary.
Right?
I was just like, wow.
Dude's living in a mansion, awesome. Man.
He's,
that's why he's getting transferred into Central Detroit, because he's taken too many bribes from rich people.
Yeah.
Bro, you're going to get the fuck out of Dodge, bro. They're onto you, you know?
Yeah. I was like, wow, cool.
Or he married into wealth.
Well, that's true.
And he's just doing it for the fun of it. Just like, oh, what's his name in Bad Boys? Will Smith's character or whatever. We find out he's like really rich, which is why he's living in apartments and driving flash cars and shit.
Yeah, on the waterfront. Yeah.
Just policing for the fun of it, bro.
Yeah.
Not egotistical, no power trips. Yeah.
I mean, maybe he just staged the photo in that house for the good of the montage.
Can't imagine Will Smith being egotistical, can you?
I can't imagine that he'd, you know, put himself out there for what he believes in.
Nah, he doesn't really like slap you across the face with his egotism.
It's not in your face like that, is it?
No, not really. Anyway, should we Chris Rock on to the next one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. As usual, any of these quotes, but what quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear immediately after you finish having sex?
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Yes! God damn it.
I wrote that down as soon as I heard it. I was like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah, this is going to be in the fucking podcast. I had that one. I had bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
And then finally, your move, creep.
There were others that are just could have had in there too.
Pretty much everything Clarence's gang says to anybody throughout the film is just like, is trash. Oh, yeah.
Good business is where you find it.
Cool. Question 6.
What was the biggest dick move in the movie?
Can you fly, Bobby? One of Clarence's gang gets shot in the back of the van, needs medical attention, and Clarence's first idea is to throw him out the back of the fucking van at a police car. Can you fly, Bobby? What a dick.
Yeah.
What an absolute dick.
I just thought it was Robocop shooting the goon in the dick. That's a real dick move.
Yes.
A justified move, but still a dick move.
Is it more dick splintering than dick moving?
Yeah. I was going to say, what about those balls on Robocop? But then poor Robocop probably doesn't have balls anymore.
Well, there's a deep philosophical debate. Do they give him gonads? Do they give him... Probably not, right? Like, what point does he have for genitals? Because at this point, he's just a brain, isn't he? Isn't he like a brain and a...
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he...
Even then, why have they got a brain in him? Why isn't he just a full robot?
Yeah, because they do talk about losing the arm, eh, when they're like trying to boot him up. And he doesn't seem to have much of a torso, I don't know. Yeah.
Like, is he kind of Anakin Skywalker where he's like lost limbs and shit, or is it just a brain in there? I mean, we know the brain's in there because he starts having thoughts and memories.
Yeah, because he's only really got like the front of his face, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time making sure the face was okay.
Famously, the actor inside of that suit, one day into filming, quit.
Oh, real?
He was like, fuck this. This thing is like, could you imagine me in there? Somebody who's permanently hot.
Yeah.
For him, it was like torture to be inside that suit. It was like, you know, it was overheating and all this other shit. Like, he was like, yeah, fuck this. Quit. And they actually had to beg him to come back because they were like, the suit is tailor-made for your exact body proportions. Unless we find an actor who's exactly the same shape as you, we're fucked.
I'll be like, well, this is how I see my pay, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. I think they rigged it up with air conditioning and shit like that to make it like a little less.
Yeah.
But fuck that.
But like the whole C-3PO situation, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. Does Robocop have wet dreams?
That's something I never expected Kahu to ever ask me in my life. That's going to be at the start of the podcast. Does Robocop have wet dreams? He just oozes oil out of his orifices.
Oh, no.
You started it.
He's multi-orificed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a sieve.
Fuck! His little recharge chamber is just full of like different lubricants.
Yeah, he probably like recharges in a couple of minutes.
Exactly.
Round two.
My move again, creep. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Again and again.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck are we going to get for the rest of these questions? I hope not. Anyway, what is question number 7? What was the biggest load of bullshit in this movie?
So Dick screaming as he's falling after being shot about a dozen times.
Yeah.
It's just like, how are you screaming?
You know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Screaming, probably like torn to shreds by going through the glass, and yeah.
What I'm laughing at is that I've written in my notes, come up with something, at the moment just say all of it. And that's all I've got. All I've got is like all of it. So I'm going to go with that, all of it. There's so much bullshit in this movie, but it's fucking amazing. It's one of these films that's so stupidly awesome that it can get away with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just nonsense. It's absolute fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other one that I thought was a bit ridiculous was at the end where Clarence is fighting Robocop in the pit and his goons like up on the top with that big kick-ass gun. That they made a big deal about how they'd got these big kick-ass guns to take down Robocop.
Yeah.
He has a clear shot at Robocop and thinks, no, actually, it'd be better if I shoot this crane down instead and hopefully it lands on him. And it does land on him, but surely if your guns are so super and you're some kind of qualified goon, you just shoot Robocop directly. Why? Why would you do that?
Exactly. You've actually reminded me of what my biggest load of bullshit was, which is when those guys are shooting off those guns in the street and they're blowing up cars and they're blowing up buildings and all that sort of shit. Those motherfuckers would be dead within seconds. You know what I mean? Like, they would have been hit by some form of shrapnel or a building falling on them or like the recoil from these guns. You know, like, I'm pretty sure one of them's like shooting it like from the hip at one point or something like that.
It's like balls. Yeah.
Like anybody. Like, and they're shooting cars at, like, 5 meters away. Like, there's glass and shit on these cars. You'd be fucked. What the fuck are these guys doing?
Yeah.
They should all be dead within seconds.
Yeah, they don't, apart from Clarence, they don't strike me as the smartest gang, to be honest.
No, God, no. Yeah. No one in that fucking gang is smart.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, question 8.
Yeah, which character would totally fall for a pyramid scheme?
I say speaking of which, because I've written down all the dudes in Clarence's gang, because they keep going along with Clarence's fucking plans, even after they see him throw one of their mates out the back of a fucking truck.
Yeah.
Can you fly, baby? They're still like, oh, well, whatever. But that being said, though, and this is kind of funny, is that at the start there, they're all talking, in the police, you know, station, they're all talking about how We should form a union. We should, you know, and there's one main guy who's like standing by the door. He's like, that's what we should do. We should form a union. We should take down all these people. And then the police chief will come, he's like, hey, shut the fuck up. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's like that guy. He looks very easily, like he looks very gullible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the police chief just says, hey, shut the fuck up. He's like, yeah, okay. I fully agree with that. Yeah, yeah, I'd love to buy some fucking herbal shakes that make me lose weight. And yeah, I'd totally want to get myself into debt for this shit.
Yeah, yeah. I thought of Joe, who was like Bob's kind of sounding board.
Oh yeah,
for everything,
for sure.
as colleague around the board table. I reckon he'd just do like whatever Bob said, basically. But I think he'd go along with things like that as kind of a form of survival, like just to keep making his way up the corporate chain.
Is he the one at the end that this is another load of bullshit that sort of does like a bit of a like fist pump and a
yeah,
yeah, you got him to RoboCop? And they're we just brutally, we just watched the brutal murder of some dude in front of us and we're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Not traumatized by seeing some dude get a million fucking bullets go through him and shot out a window. Oh, I don't give a shit about that. Just, yeah.
Or how about the,
he's just fucking won the golf competition, you know, like.
Yeah, how about that first guy that gets shot up by the ED-209? I forget what his name is, like Todd or something maybe.
And no one's vomiting. No one's fucking traumatized.
The old man boss just goes,
yeah,
he's just like,
oh, you really?
Oh, that's a disappointment. You cost us all this money.
Like, cleaners are going to ask for an extra $10 to clean up all this shit. You know how much that's going to cost the company that makes billions?
Yeah. I do love how all his colleagues, when it becomes clear that he's going to get shot up, they're just like, nah, bro, get away from me. I'm not going to try and save you.
On your own, bro.
Yeah.
Kind of a big load of bullshit that they don't have some fail-safe to stop a fucking killing machine from going on a killing rampage. Like, they don't have some, you know, they're all slamming on the computers. Like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Fully did it on purpose, eh? They were like, fuck that dick up there. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I think because it's shown in the movie how Dick can control that type of thing, but he clearly chooses not to.
Exactly.
Yeah, just on that ED-209, how easy does RoboCop deal to it when he comes back to the building?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's okay, we've got the ED-209 patrolling downstairs. And what does he do? He just basically, like, rips its arm off or something.
Yeah. And goodbye.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, so much for that big confrontation.
100%. Question number 9, how would you have incorporated Nicolas Cage into this movie?
Oh, he's got to be the I'd buy that for a dollar guy. How good would he be?
I'd buy that for a dollar!
Yeah. It'd be perfect for that role.
He would be. That's a very good choice. My other one is this is early Nick Cage, right? Early 20s Nick Cage. Is like, imagine him being the dude that gets covered in whatever that, like, radioactive material or whatever
it is.
He's like, imagine Nick Cage doing that, having this mutant meltdown before getting smoked by a car.
He just, like, totally disintegrates that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Nick Cage exploding into a million pieces. That would be Stacey's favorite movie. No, she's softened on him.
Oh,
after the unbearable weight of Massive Talent and going through Face Off and, oh no, she didn't do Face Off, but going through Con Air? I'm trying to remember what movie it was that Stacey was like, oh, I get it now. I fucking get it now.
Yeah.
Must have been Con Air. It was something that she was like, yeah, I get it now, Sam. I can see the attraction. Question 10.
Sam's favorite. What would the porn parody name be for this movie?
Robocock is way too easy, but it's the right answer.
That's why I also have Robocock.
Yeah, Robocock. What else would it be? Robocock, the fucking machine.
Yeah.
Let's move on now before this gets even fucking weirder.
Robocop? Yeah, let's move on.
We are moving on to question number 11. What character would be the absolute worst person to have as an ex?
Oh, it's our mate Dick Jones. He's just so vindictive, that guy.
Yep.
Like, I mean, there's quite a few good candidates in this film, but yeah, I think Dick Jones, he just takes petty slights to the extreme of killing people.
That's true. I don't know if I'd really like having a malfunctioning ED-209 as an ex. But I think you're also right. I think aside from maybe Annie, I don't think there's anybody in this movie that gets more than three lines that you want as an ex.
Yeah.
I went with Bob, though. He's a nut job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's snorting coke and doing prostitutes and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you don't really want that as an ex.
Yeah, he's very narcissistic, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolute stuck-up arsehole. Thinks he's the future of the company, all that sort of stuff. Fuck that.
I mean, it'd be, yeah, if you broke up with the ED209, it'd be pretty easy to sort living arrangements. You just stay upstairs.
True. Hard to have a fight with someone when they walk up some stairs.
Yeah. Just halve the house. Easy.
That's true. That's a good point. Question number 12.
In what way did this movie remind you of your own life?
See, this is bizarre because, like, one time when I was young, I was brutally massacred by hooligans. I've been trying to patch my life back together ever since.
Oh, man, I was really hoping I was actually really thankful that mass word went in that direction and not another direction. Particularly the brutally part about it.
Yeah.
Phew, that's all I can say to that.
It was a tough time growing up in the town I grew up in. I was brutally massacred on the regular. It was just...
where were you going with that?
I don't know. It was just like my life, you know. I got brutally massacred and then put into a robotic suit, and here I am today, malfunctioning and leaving lube everywhere.
dripping it.
Exactly.
Mine was pretty easy in that I too struggle to walk downstairs. I have bad knees. It sucks. Upstairs, not so bad, but yeah, can't do downstairs. It's not a fun time.
I thought you would have gone with something along the lines of going along with some bald dude's harebrained fucking schemes.
Yeah.
Sort of feel like I'm one of Clarence's gang. A foul-mouthed, bald-headed dickhead. I'm not running a drugs operation in the city, though. I'm not doing that at the moment, but...
No, just prostitution.
Yeah, no comment. Question number 13, what job would this movie be suitable for?
Used car salesman.
Yeah, I'm up there with you.
Used car
salesman was on the shortlist, only piped at the fucking post by something else.
When
I wrote this 4 weeks ago, after we planned to do this fucking movie.
It's just like... It's a bit kind of greasy and leaves you feeling a little bit dirty. But then there's like a shiny front through Robocop.
Yeah.
And through the OCD Corporation or what it's called, whatever it's called. OCP.
ICP? Insane ICP. Clown Posse?
OPC, Outdoor Pursuit Centre.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, I like that one.
CPD, Continual Professional Development.
OPEC, the Oceanic Pacific Economic... Council? Charter? I don't know what the fuck they are. What's OPEC?
Isn't that the oil producing countries?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
APEC, the Asia Pacific Economic.
That would explain why the other day at work we had something. We do the quiz out of like our New Zealand Herald. Yeah. And one of the questions was, where's OPEC's headquarters? And we were all like, Sydney, Auckland, Taiwan. And then
Jeddah or something?
The person asking it was like, it's Vienna. Oh. And we were all like, oh, does that not stand for Oceanic Pacific? She's like, I don't know what it stands for.
Yeah.
We looked fucking intelligent. The one for me is, similar to that. It's like you go to any Mediterranean city that has a whole bunch of nightclubs. They usually have a nightclub promoter out the front of them. It's like, hey, come to my club. It's amazing. Oh, there's fucking tons of hot bitches in there. You can get fucking laid left and right. Oh, the alcohol's real cheap. It's just like, whoa, this is fucking insane. And then you get in there, and it usually kind of is. It's usually fucking insane. People are doing drugs in the fucking toilets. People are falling over themselves. People are throwing up everywhere. You're probably going to see about 15 dudes get brutally murdered by a Robocop. You know, it's fucking insane.
Well, at least the guy at the front's being honest about it.
He is. Yeah. So I feel like this movie is suitable for that. They should be out the front. And none of the decor has been updated since the 80s. That's the other thing too. Like, whenever this was built, that was it. We're done. It's like most movie theaters in New Zealand. You walk in there and you're like, oh yeah, this hasn't changed the upholstery of the seats since the fucking 50s.
Yeah. Peak interior design. Yeah.
Exactly. We're trying to go for that grimy, off the main strip of Vegas casino look. Hence why we haven't changed our carpet in 40 years.
Yeah.
Or our upholstery. But yeah, it's like that. It's like, it's excessive. It wants to lure you in. It's insane. And then you have a good time. And then you walk out and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Still hyperbole. What am I doing?
I do like the honest frontman Yeah, unlike some people we know who say there's going to be five or six girls.
There's one person out there right now that's listening to this and going, are they talking about me? Yes, yes, we fucking are.
Machu will understand.
Yeah, he will 100% understand. I'm not saying it's Machu, we're saying it's someone else, but...
Do you know what? Then, my indoor netball team, we're a bit short of numbers tonight. And one of the teammates...
I'm glad you didn't ask.
One of the teammates said, that's okay, I'll bring two girls along. And I was about to say, are you sure about that?
Sure you will, bro. Sure.
Yeah.
Or we'll just talk about it all weekend.
I have trust issues with people that say that, okay?
It was like that time I organised a threesome. I had a couple of no-shows, but I still had a good time.
Oh, no.
Story of my life. I don't know where I heard that joke, but it's fucking classic. Anyway, it moves me over to my personal questions. Question number one. What prediction of the future did this movie totally nail?
I think it's just that corporate sponsoring and washing of current events. Like there's multiple times the director showed that there's just no real substance to the news, or it was just like a headline.
Yeah.
Just kind of reflecting that whole clickbait culture that we have.
That's a very good point. Mm. Very good point. The other one is that Detroit as a city went bankrupt. Went absolutely bankrupt. And this was supposed to be Detroit in 2013. Yeah. And interestingly, by 2013 in Detroit, they were selling like their civic responsibilities.
Yeah.
So like their waste management and stuff got sold to a company for them to do it.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. And similar to this, it's what they're doing. The policing is being outsourced to a different policing company because their policing's shit. And it's somebody even said, like, I'd rather live in the Detroit of RoboCop in 2013 than the Detroit now. Like,
yeah.
Supposedly the city's bringing it back together, which I hope, because I'm a massive Detroit Red Wings ice hockey fan. Like, that's my team. It's always been my team. Even the last 5-6 years where they've been shit. And I've always wanted to go see a game. Always wanted to go see a game at their arena in Detroit. But everybody I speak to is like, bro, you don't want to go to Detroit.
Sam doesn't actually know the stadium name. He's not a real fan.
It's Little Caesars Arena. I always call it the Joe because it used to be the Joe Louis Arena.
Right.
Yeah.
Does the basketball team play there too?
I don't know that. No one cares about basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. Detroit Pistons.
Except for everybody fucking cares about basketball. No one gives a shit about ice hockey. Question number two. I mean, this movie is batshit insane. How many tons of cocaine were snorted in the making of this movie?
I actually think, like, offset, there probably would have been a bit going on.
100%!
Like, particularly that dude that can't even breathe in the RoboCop suit. Like, he's going to have to do something to keep himself going. Yeah, plenty. I mean, some of the acting performances are a bit wooden. Maybe they were just kind of high out of their minds the whole time.
Yeah, poor old Paul Weller. That being said, I mean, if you are playing RoboCop and you're trying to be an emotionless dude, you don't want to be snorting cocaine.
Yeah.
If you don't want to overheat, you don't want to be snorting cocaine. I feel like all of Red Foreman's gang, I'm just going to call him Red, fucking Clarence.
The Red Gang.
I feel like all of them were fucking high. I feel like Verhoeven was high. I feel like these guys, after like filming was wrapped, were fucking high. Bob was tweaked out of his head most of the time.
They had that scene in the Coke warehouse, eh? So like they've clearly got easy access to it, so... Yeah.
You realize that in movies they don't actually use illegal substances in the films they're filming. Nah, bro, they made real dinosaurs for Jurassic Park, bro.
Yeah. It was like they really filmed the interior of an actual working cocaine warehouse.
They actually sunk the Titanic for the movie Titanic.
Yeah. Raised it and then sunk it again.
I don't know how to explain this shit to you, Kahu. But... My answer to that was three Columbias.
Three Columbias?
Yeah, Columbias, like the country of Columbia.
Right. Gotcha.
I love explaining jokes. It's my favourite thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm just a bit slow sometimes, aren't I? It's been a long year.
Correct. Finally, as we've discussed, at one point there, a pair of guys are assaulting a woman. RoboCop shows up, saves the day by shooting the guy in the dick. If you were that guy, how would you explain to your friends that you'd been shot in the dick? Or if you randomly got shot in the dick, how would you explain that to people? How would you broach the subject?
I mean, yeah, there's no kind of real easy way because...
Hence why I asked this question.
Yeah.
To be like an absolute
asshole. I was just going to say that I was cutting my cocaine with a Glock because a Glock's like quite a square kind of gun.
Listen to how gangster Kahu is. He's about as gangster as a grandpa's tweed jacket, but yeah, listen to this.
And it accidentally went off. That's okay. Basically it.
Just cleaning it and it went off.
Well, no, using it to cut the cocaine, but...
Oh, yeah.
Because you're, like, not necessarily worried about safety quite so much when you're doing that.
So just cutting it and it went off.
Yeah.
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 Just cleaning it and went off is an excuse I give to Stacey quite often when I'm found in the shower. The...
Oh, no.
I don't know if that's going to be included in the podcast. Moves us over to your questions. What do you got?
Yeah, so my first one, and I liked how this was repeated in Starship Troopers a decade later. Do you want to live forever?
Yes.
There we go.
I want the ability to be able to live forever.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. I feel like if you lived for a ridiculous amount of time, if it was me now, you know what I mean? If they de-aged me actually to 19, you know what I mean? Like back before my body got ravaged by the rugby fucking years. But like...
Alcohol, you meant.
Yeah, that as well.
Don't blame it all on the rugby.
Well, it was indirectly involved because it made me an alcoholic. But it would be nice to live for like a really long time. But like, you know, you want to enjoy it. You know, it's like if you were a brain in a jar, and you couldn't do anything. It was like, is it really that enjoyable? Fuck that. You want to be wiped out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You'd like the ability to end it whenever you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants the only ability being to think? I reckon a good way about it was that would be that you could just like kind of switch on and off for like a year here and there.
What, wake up in 50 years time?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Everyone you know and love has died. Is it? Oh, okay. Now this is making sense. Yeah. Kay, you can't be fucked with any of us. He wants to wake up in 50 years and see if it's better.
Yeah, I want to make new friends.
New friends, new wife, new kids, new life.
I think
there's a story.
I think it'd be really interesting to see how things go. And I mean,
oh, until you discover it's terrible and no one's heeded the warnings of climate change and the world's ravaged and there's no food.
It's 50 degrees outside every day. My second question, why does the ED-209 squeal like a pig when it goes turtle up?
Yeah, who programmed that in? Yeah. I reckon somebody trolled the system and was like, this is funny, we'll program this into it just to take the piss out of this, because it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's like one of these things. It's like a Easter egg in a video game. It's like, no one's ever going to make it their way in here. And it's like, they do. They discover this thing squeals like a pig when it's on his back.
Yeah, no purpose whatsoever. Yeah.
Bizarre. I've also been known to squeal like a pig when I'm on my back. But, but talking about this movie.
I mean, I guess the ED-209 got up to that top floor by the service elevator or something?
Must have.
Yeah. Design flaw.
Biggest load of bullshit, making an elevator big enough for that thing to hop into and then get transported to the upper. It's going to weigh like, what, 5 tons?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what's an elevator usually do? Like
one and a half?
8 people or something? Normally?
Yeah, I think 1.5 is like a big elevator.
Yeah. That's probably like at the max margins, eh?
Yeah.
They do kind of fold up the way, but... still doesn't help the weight.
Yeah.
Mm. Question 19. Has Kirkwood Smith, I read, barely aged in 40 years and why?
What the fuck, eh? Like, he looks old.
Yeah. He looks old. He must have been, what, like 40 at the time or something?
Yeah.
And, he doesn't feel like he's aged much. He seems like one of those actors that would be really easy to de-age.
Kind of. Like, he doesn't feel like he's changed at all. The only other one that I can think of is Kate Blanchett has always sort of looked like she's 40.
Yeah.
Or 45-ish.
Yeah.
Like she's never, and same with Toni Collette. Like the both of them look like they're 40 to 45 and they're probably well past it now. We're not, you know, heaps past it, but they're past it.
Yeah.
And they don't look any fucking different.
No.
Like Toni Collette was the mum in Sixth Sense and she looks exactly like she did then.
Basically, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, same with Cate Blanchett in, like in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings trilogy. It was in 2001. Blue Jasmine looks exact same age,
yeah.
2013. And then now, 10 years on, Cate Blanchett's still looking like she did then. It's sort of like they've got this age and they're like, I'm stuck at that age. And yeah, I'm going to be that age for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, great for a movie career. never getting old.
I did love that somebody did a comparison of, have you seen The Thing?
I think so. Not sure.
There's Wilford Brimley who's in that. He was 53 at the time of The Thing getting filmed. And he looks like he's about 70. Yeah. And somebody put up a photo of him and was like, here is Wilford Brimley at 53 and here's Paul Rudd. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then somebody recently chucked up a photo of, fucking Liz Taylor and Richard Burton. Oh, and it's them at Heathrow, and he's 42, and she's 39, and my God, they look like they're 60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sort of bizarre. It's like people have this thing where they're stuck in that age, and it's like...
Yeah. Paul Rudd's a good one, eh?
Yeah, he's a great one.
He doesn't look like he's changed ever since he's been on the screen.
No, exactly. Yeah. You take him from Clueless in 1995, compare them to that now, and you're like, oh, that might be his older brother?
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. And that takes us down to our final question, which is a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of Dan Brennick, formerly of Netflix and Swill. They have stopped podcasting, but go check them out anyway. I love this. Love this question. So I'm still including it. Who is the true MVP of this movie? And I feel like we have the same answer.
Oh, do we?
I reckon we do. Who do you reckon?
Do you mean Clarence?
He's obviously, but no. Yeah. Okay, we don't.
I actually more of a side character. I just think Meltman, just solely for that scene where he gets obliterated.
He melts good. That's a very memorable scene. You said to me there's no shit that like stands out. That's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean I could name like a dozen scenes from Terminator 2 off the bat, but yeah, this one in this film is just it's just like it's kind of hilarious, like, to be honest. Just there's a lot of effort gone into the makeup for that character in that scene, but it's just like, it's just hilarious. Yeah,
it's so good. I feel like we haven't spoken about her at all. It's Annie. It's Nancy Allen.
Yeah, we haven't. Yeah.
She kicks ass in this movie.
Yeah.
And she takes on that gang pretty much by herself. And, you know, like, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the first time we see her, he's been told, oh, that's your partner over there. And she just kicks the shit out of some dude in the police station. No one jumps in and helps her. She just whoops this dude who's, like, trying to, like, scrap the fuck out of her. She's awesome.
Yeah. And initially when she first teams up with Murphy, Murphy's just a bit of a dick.
He's
I'm going to drive
it. I'm going to drive it.
Listen to me talk away. I'm the man. And she's just like, oh, yeah. I've been around these blocks a bit more than you, mate.
Yeah.
And
she even says to him, we should radio for backup.
Yeah.
And then, like, controversial opinion, guy almost deserves to die. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No, nah, let's not worry about that.
Like, nah, I'm the man. I'll take them all by myself.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's like she's kind of the voice of reason, but doesn't put up with any shit. Yeah. That's a good call. Yeah, we haven't talked much about Annie. She was amazing.
Yeah, love Nancy Allen. She was amazing.
And I think good for the time period as well that they were that they're just mates as well. Like,
yes.
Kind of any kind of forced, like, weird RoboCop love story behind it. They were just like, they're just mates, just partners, and that was cool.
He didn't ooze all over at some point, you know.
Yeah.
Consensually, but he didn't.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Probably quite progressive for the time, I would have thought.
Yeah, because...
in that regard.
Because, I mean, like, Sigourney and Alien and Aliens, like, you know, there's another, like, really strong female character who's not turned into a romantic interest, you know? Like,
yeah. But she's clearly the main character, whereas... Annie is, I mean, she's not a side character, but she's not the main character.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So
it's funny because, like, when we did Raiders of the Lost Ark, we mentioned about how Karen Allen's character in that, Marion, is like, she's awesome. But again, she's sort of turned into the romantic indie. Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's like not as much as in later films with whatever her name was, Willie or whatever. But like she's still like she's awesome, and it's like it's kind of funny that they have these really strong female heroines that no one ever talks about. You know, like you know, we all talk about like Sarah Connor and we talk about Ellen Ripley and shit, but she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's fucking phenomenal in this.
Yeah. I agree. Well deserving of the MVP.
Yep. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. Thank you so much for listening to a podcast that's been 2.5 years in the making.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I'm glad we finally knocked this one out.
I hope it was worth the wait.
It's kind of bizarre because I feel like we're going to have nothing to text each other about anymore. Yeah.
Bro, hey, do you want to do it?
We could always do the sequel.
Yeah. We'll do it next week. Next month.
Next podcast. Anyway, yeah, that does take us down to the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Upcoming episode, Liz wants me to review Forrest Gump with her.
I did hear that mentioned on maybe when you did Shawshank.
Yes, maybe 17 other episodes that we've mentioned that this is turning into a RoboCop. I don't know how it's going to go because I feel like Liz is going to get horribly mortified at me not loving her favourite film. So we'll see.
Then that'll be the best.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to shit all over a movie that she enjoys. So that may be the episode that follows this. We are tracking to do our Christmas special and almost wrapping things up around that for the year. Anyway, if you do want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter/X, whatever it is, at Movie Reviews In. Alternatively, send us an email at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. And we're also on Instagram and Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Feel free to go over there, you know, send us messages, suggestions for any films you want us to do before we get to 250. More than welcome. More than welcome to hear them. Anyway, that is thanks from me.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.